Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, the Executive Director of Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for listening online to our programs, our stream, our podcast, our online on-demand audio. We appreciate you. Remember, KFUO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry, so we do rely on your support to continue. So please prayerfully consider making a gift today. You benefit from the programs, and you know how important it is to get the message out to the world. And that's what we do every day here at KFUO. For more information, you could call area code 314-996-1518 to talk to Mary, or 996-1520 to talk to Mark. Ask them about the different ways to give to the ministry of KFUO. Thank you in advance for your support. Also, tell your friends about us. Most important of all, pray for the ministry of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Taking a little break out of our lectionary study for some Worldview Watch with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. Talking about quite a number of things today, some good news, some bad news. Welcome, Dr. Weiss.
Oh, thank you, Pastor, and to you and your listeners. Blessed 1-degree cold morning out there. I understand what it's like to be part of the frozen chosen. So it's something else out there.
It was been a cold weekend. Our furnace has bugged out, and they couldn't fix it Friday. This morning I woke up. It was 56 degrees in our house this morning. So we're looking forward to getting that fixed today. Better than 1 degree outside. Still alive. It's like living on the prairie.
You and your wife understand then what it means to be a bundle of love. So
yeah,
that's good.
Right. And we got a couple of our kids sharing beds to stay warm.
Of course. It's good. Bodies keep everybody warm. What I've got here today, just for a few minutes, the American Psychiatric Association, in concert with the American Medical Association, who was considering medical euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide that we already have here in six states in Washington, D.C. itself, they have finally come out with a strong stand against euthanasia in a formal statement approved by the Board of Trustees just this month here in December. And this implies that it's not ethical for a psychiatrist. Now, this is just psychiatrists to help a non-terminally ill person to commit suicide either by means of direct or indirect injection of any kind of material that would kill them as it's currently being practiced in Belgium and in the Hague, Netherlands. Now, that the issue here, of course, is what about a person who's terminally ill? And they haven't addressed that yet. So in one sense, this is good news. In the other sense, they're still considering about physician-assisted suicide. So just as long as your listeners understand, there is a difference between the physician-assisted. That simply means in review that the doctor has to give the medicine through a prescription to a person, like in Oregon or Washington and California. It's picked up, and then they have to administer it themselves, the person who is terminally ill, at least determined to be terminally ill and to die within 6 months. Of course, the other one, euthanasia, meaning good death, that one, of course, is where the doctor himself actually gives the medicine directly to the patient that kills them. So I wanted to share that. That has just come up. So that continues to be in the news. The other one that continues to be in the news and has just come up, and it's happened in two countries. It's happened in the United Kingdom and then indirectly here in the United States. There's a clinic in the United States in California, or New York, I'm sorry, called the New Hope Fertility Clinic. It also has a clinic in Guadalajara in Mexico. And now they're going to start treating what's called mitochondrial disease, which is lethal in children. It's where mitochondria are those sort of energy-producing little organelles that are in everybody's cells in your body that help give you energy. When those are not present or defective, then eventually your muscles shut down, which means your heart shuts down because your heart is a muscle, a rather large muscle. And so what they're doing here now, they call this the three-person baby. They're taking the nucleus of the mother who has the quote unquote defective or sick DNA, mitochondria. They're taking her nucleus out of her egg, the one that has the problem, and then putting it into a donor egg that is normal with unaffected mitochondria. And then they fertilize that donor egg with the mother's nucleus from her ovary into using the father's sperm, and then a child results. So this has happened already, and this is called a three-person embryo technique. Taken again, just to review quickly, the mother's egg who has the problem with the defective mitochondria, these energy cells which are out in the cytoplasm of a cell, would be like the albumin in a regular egg. And so they take out the yolk and they put that in into the donor's egg, and then fertilize it with the father's sperm. It may sound a bit complicated, but that's a technique now that's moving right along here in the United States through the New Hope Fertility Clinic in the United States and in Mexico to create the so-called three-person child or three-parent child. The last one I wanted to share with your listeners, and this is not just in the only university that's doing it, but Oxford University now has gone to what's called gender-specific. They have removed anything in their applications, anything in their lectures that deal with saying his, her, he, she, any specific gender identity pronouns that directly identify a person, they are gone. You may call a person a professor, but that's about it. So what I have heard from people, Jonathan, on this one, is they'll say, yeah, you know, but the Bible agrees with this, and here's what they'll use, just like they use for women's ordination in Galatians 3. It's also in Colossians. But in Galatians 3:28, it says there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And, of course, taking that way out of context simply means their ethnic, social, and sexual identities don't determine one's standing before God. So they're taking that text and saying, see, if I'm neither male nor female, what does Jesus care? And so that, of course, obliterates the doctrine of creation and redemption and so forth. So, but this is kind of the argument that people are given within the context of gender neutrality, specific terms.
It's quite ignorant of what the scriptures teach. Jesus himself saying from the beginning they were made male and female, as he talks about marriage with the Pharisees. But to me, there's a number of just kind of side tangent issues. What a grammarian's disaster they are creating. What a mass of confusion to attempt to speak without gender. I mean, it goes against the identity of language itself. I think the listeners all kind of know this, but to put words to it, in the name of diversity, this is all being done for the sake of so-called diversity. What they end up doing is demolishing our ability to recognize diversity and talk about it, to truly celebrate it by having language that recognizes there is a difference between, say, you and me, depending on what that difference is. It's godless in that sense. It's anti-creation in the sense that it's trying to get rid of all forms of our ability to speak. It's an anti-word movement, an anti-knowledge movement, and there's really nothing more diabolical, nothing deeper in Satan's arsenal than to confuse us by the reduction of what we speak to absurdity. And in doing so, then it removes our ability, of course, to preach Christ and him crucified, because all words are meaningless and absurd. So on that edge there, it's a bizarre thing. This is not new, though, right? Sweden's had this in their legislature for, I don't know, 2-3 years now. They've been doing this. But to make the claim it accords with the Bible, it's like, no, the Bible uses him and her all the time. It's constantly throughout the book. It's straight up.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you would mention the issue of diversity. You know, this is one of the screaming phrases that people say in terms of the same-sex marriage, the transgender movement, the LGBTQ QI and so forth, intersex movement, that they want diversity, and that's why the flag, the gay lesbian movement, is different colors. They want diversity. Well, immediately there's no diversity if you're just an it. And so
that's right.
It's a paradox against what they're, like you have said, against what they're speaking, not just to mention, of course, the scriptures. And I think that's, you know, when we're dealing with the authority of the Bible, I used to have a friend phrase. They would say, well, where are you, they'd put the Bible in front of you and they'd say, well, where you begin is where you're going to go. And I'm thinking, well, that's fine. But if you're, where you begin with the Bible is not the authority of the Word of God in all of its truth and purity, yeah, you can take the Bible and go wherever you want to go with it based on your human opinion. That is to say, if you want to let your conscience be your guide, which is, I always, you know, that is not the way the conscience is to work from a Christian viewpoint. As Luther says, the conscience ought to know nothing but the gospel. So I think that your listeners have to understand that when we get into this, and there are other colleges that are specifically targeting this, and their kids go out into these universities other than these Ivy League schools. But I also know in a couple state schools here in Illinois, I don't know about the University of Missouri or Southeast or Southwest Missouri State and so forth, whether they're into this. But the whole issue, it tends to spread its tentacles out to the point where you're neither male nor female. It reminds me of the Addams Family or just it. And that clearly, as you have said, speaks totally against the doctrine of creation, where God made man and woman, male and female. He made them. And then God blessed them. And so, once again, here we go. We got to go back to the scriptures, back to the basics, back to the catechism. And I think, and I'm going to repeat myself again, but when Matthew writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, I think we better get back to the teaching, too. In terms of everything that we're saying and we're doing.
Certainly, if we're going to be Christian, then we're going to need to hold to what Jesus has said. To be Jesus follower is to believe what Jesus teaches. And part of our Worldview Watch this morning is recognizing that when you send your kids off to college, wherever they are, it's not just Oxford, wherever they are, they're going to face sensitivity training, they're calling it these days. They're going to face worldview manipulation, an attempt to brainwash them out of what you've taught them in the home. And so it's important to know that, to check those things out, to be in conversation with your child while they're engaged in these forced, these are mandatory classes. And also make sure that when you take them to whatever alma mater you want to send them to, find them a good church nearby. And if you can't find them a good church nearby, then maybe that degree and that burgeoning career isn't quite worth their eternal soul. What good does it do them to gain the whole world and lose the faith they have in our Lord Jesus Christ? Talking about Worldview Watch this morning with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, God's peace to you and your listeners, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. We'll be back with Pastor Lohrfeld to look at Revelation in just a moment.